We'd like to welcome you, our listener, to a very exciting episode everybody's waiting for. One of Anne's favourite subjects is vetiver. Anne knows a lot more about this than I do. So welcome to our scent panel. And Anne is here. And it's absolutely wonderful to have you, Anne. I just love you so much. And I love all your knowledge. And so do all of our listeners I know well. So now,
we're talking about vetiver today.
Talking about vetiver, and I'm quite well prepared today. I have four vetivers, and they're all very old because I wouldn't be practicing perfumery so much.
Okay.
That's okay.
One of the oldest I've got looks like asphalt.
And what's that called? There was a little bit of a glitch there. What's it called, Anne?
It looks like asphalt. Look at it.
Oh, my God.
Look at the speed of it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's something else, isn't it? Oh, can you imagine if you opened it?
I opened.
It seems to... That's such a stupid thing to say. But, like, when you open it... It just takes over, doesn't it? Like, but in the most beautiful way in a room.
I can't do it. I have to crack it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But like I have these here, and I covered them with cling film, you know, so that they wouldn't kind of all evaporate. But in the meantime, it was sort of, I just could feel myself just being like surrounded by this. Wonderful, just like, oh my goodness, and really cooling as well. There's a heat wave in Ireland at the moment.
Yes, and it's very cooling. And
very cooling, yeah.
Well, this is another thing.
Oh my goodness. And what kind of vetiver is that now? Oh, look at that. That is about a litre.
You can see it's like honey.
Mm.
Yeah.
That looks kind of, I know the bottle is green, but what kind of vetiver is that now? There's a Haitian...
Wild vetiver from Brazil.
Oh, stop, Anne. You are not serious.
Yes.
Like one you wouldn't even get very often, like...
Both of them.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
They are from Brazil. there's some people planting it here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and it's very good. It's a very good vetiver. It's very rustic.
Yes,
facet of earthy.
Yeah.
That earthy thing.
Yeah.
It's very heavy. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you want to make an earthy perfume, you can use it easily, you know. It's the base for it already ready, you know. You can only use that and dress it.
Yeah.
While you make a perfume, you know, you dress it over and that's it. Don't need to look for something earthy. No, this is the vetiver that's ready for it.
And from what I was reading about it then today, just so I wasn't going to be totally ignorant about it, because I think it would have been, you know, when you're not too keen on something at the start, you don't really explore it as much. And then when you do explore it, you kind of realize, oh, my God, what you've been missing. It's like a little bit like people. I think essential oils and raw materials are a little bit like people. So when you first encounter them, the ones that you really at the beginning go, oh, this is wonderful. You know, like Lang Lang might be an example. And then after a while, it's like, oh, you know, like it's really nice at the start. And then but other ones, like they might not. You might be kind of like, oh, a little bit even put off. And then after a while, it's like, oh.
The vetiver is...
Once you really get to know them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? You have to make acquaintance.
Yeah, you have to really get to know them. So I've definitely done that now. But the Haiti Java, which is from Indonesia and North India, and then Bourbon vetiver, which is from Reunion. But there was no mention of Brazilian vetiver. So that means that is a kind of a very elite product.
Yes, yes.
Very elite product, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how would that compare then? Like, Like, say, if you were to compare that thing with, say, like I think out of the ones that I could see, the ones that people kind of go after, the most sought after would be the Haiti one for its kind of creaminess.
Well, there are many. There are many.
Yeah.
And I think the noblest one, the most beautiful one, is the Indian.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
The Rukus.
That's the one I was going to ask you about. Yeah, and that's the one that's done in the copper still. Oh yeah, you're lucky you have that.
It's different. I've got 2.5 milliliters here.
Ah, okay. And from what I was reading as well, that's the one that's most likely to be adulterated because it's so special and it has a more greenish tinge to it.
It's green.
Yeah.
It's green.
Yeah, but then people put colorant, you know, into vetiver and they would sell it so green, you see. So people have to be so careful that what they're getting is really real. You know what I mean?
But smell is different.
I'd say so. Oh my goodness.
The smell is different. Look, smells like herb.
Much lighter. Yeah. More of a heart note. Would you say that it's more of a heart note than a, like more?
See, the rustic vetiver in Brazil is thick and earthy.
Yeah.
That the smell of straw, it's very pungent.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know that face of vetiver, that straw.
I do. Yeah, exactly. I get exactly what you mean now. Yeah.
Straw, there's earth, and there's herb.
Mm-hmm.
The rucus is more like herb.
Okay.
It's very green in smell too. It's not only the color of it, but smells green.
Amazing.
Like a kind of galbanum touch of it.
Wow.
Kind of galbanum. You get the galbanum inside it. It's very, very beautiful.
Amazing.
Very, very light.
So it says here a little bit, even a little bit rosier, like that there'd be like a rosiness about it.
Floral touch too. Yeah. Yes.
Whereas the other ones might be so earthy that they don't allow, the floral notes might be there, but the earthiness and the, what you were saying, the other note wasn't earthy. What were you saying? That's like the, like
moss or something like moss or earthy or straw. Yeah.
Like straw, yeah, sort of just bringing down so you can't actually smell those. But the longer it kind of leaves, like if it's left lingering on your skin, that's when you really get to know it, isn't it? It's like, you know, after opening a bottle, say.
Yes, there's morphing all the time.
And afterwards, and then you're like, oh my God. And after a while, once those dirty kind of notes, if you want to call them that, are gone, then you start on your skin, you start to smell the real... sort of
the real
hidden vetiver. And have you ever heard of heart vetiver? It's
heart,
like
heart, yes.
Have you? I would love to experience that. So
I've got some. It's a different pressure of the distillation.
Right,
it's a different pressure they put. There's a 4.5 atmosphere and the 2.5 atmosphere they put of pressure to distill it.
Okay, and apparently you need 40 kilos to make 1 kilo if you're doing the hard vetiver, but you only need, not only, but 20 kilos to make 1 kilo if you just for the normal vetiver.
Yes, it's more or less like this, you know, so you get more... more scent.
Yeah, more scent. And it's more elegant, apparently.
My head
as well.
Is
it has less of the... Yeah. I'd love to experience that. I only learnt about the heart today. I never knew about that.
It's very beautiful. It's the heart vetiver gets the straw up, and the other, it's the straw down. You know.
Yeah.
The straw, and you can smell the earth.
Okay.
And the Brazilian vetiver.
Right. Yeah.
And a bit of the, of course, the minty scent, a little bit, you know, but only traces of it.
Yeah.
This one look that looks like asphalt is beautiful for making soap. It makes a very light vetiver smell.
Yeah, and it's very clean like that in soap, isn't it? It actually has that beautiful, like, you know, when you put it in one of your drawers like that, it's, you know, where patchouli is a little bit old and dusty, vetiver has a beautiful clean once it's in the drawer for a while, isn't it?
Yes. It's very light.
Yeah.
Do you know what the name of it in aromatherapy?
No.
The oil of tranquility.
Oh, wow. That's so fitting, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it's so fitting, you know, like, I mean, I'm just enveloped in it here. I have one of Mandy Aftel's, a really old bottle. Look at the size of that. Mm-hmm. So imagine how old that is. And you see, I don't really know where that one comes from, I have to say. And this one says Suriname, but I think there's a letter missing. And that one is pretty amazing. But again, I don't know where that comes from.
Suriname is South America, so.
Oh, is it?
Yes, north of the Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have that one, and I have it diluted. And then I have this one from Aid Aromatics. And this is, I think, is a bourbon vetiver from.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's very, very old. Mm-hmm. They do beautiful oils. And then I have this really old one from Mountain Rose Herbs, who always do it's on organic. Mm-hmm. The organic ones are, you know, they're usually a little bit different. They have kind of, they can be surprising. You know, obviously they're a lot more expensive, but so I have those and I have them. I'm going to open the lids now and see what they, because I have them all
you
here.
Open the lids, it's very
yeah,
cool.
Open the lids. Yeah, I'm going to be passing out from the paradise. And, oh, yeah, there was another thing I found out today. Have you ever heard of this? So, you know, the way you'd have the hydrosol after making, you know, when they mm-hmm. finish making the essential oil and they have the hydrosol. Well, you can make, they make an extract of the hydrosol, like a fractionated, so they fractionate the hydrosol, kind of like they do with, you know, so they make vetiver water fractionate. So, you know, so they use the, they take the scented molecules out of the hydrosol and they'll use that. So it kind of gives a little lighter version.
Yes.
As well. And then there's another version as well that, well, you wouldn't use it in natural perfumery, but I didn't know what it was until today. And it's where they refine the vetiver. So they're making a kind of, I suppose it's like an isolate really of the vetiver. But no, it's not actually. It's vetiver acetone. Yeah, it's called vetiver acetone. And so it's basically removing all of the, let's say, straw or, you know, those kind of heavy notes. So you're just left with the other ones.
But you have to distill it twice.
Okay, wow. Yeah.
You distill it once and then you redistill it, kind of, they say, ratificate.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They distill it again.
Yeah.
And you get the best part of it.
Yeah, oh, I really want to explore it more because, I mean, the ones I have here, I'd say probably, like, I just love to, I mean, imagine how many there are that you could just have a whole library shelf of.
Ah, yes. I'm mad about it.
Oh, my goodness.
I buy everywhere a little bit, sometimes a big lot when it's good.
Yeah,
this bit here, I bought half a liter and already used this.
Serious, See, I don't go through them like that, you know,
yeah.
Like you do.
I use it a lot because soap too.
Yeah.
In soap, it's the different of menstruum. When you dissolve it in alcohol, it's something. When you dissolve it in oil, it's another thing, totally different. And in soap,
and it's fairly robust in soap. It doesn't destroy. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah. No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Soap is fantastic menstruum to use essential oils. You have to choose well. You have to test them first. But vetiver is approved.
Yeah.
Completely approved. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
and it's got an animalic touch.
Oh, it's just gorgeous though, isn't it? This one is the Mandy Aftel, and you see, it doesn't say, and it's so old, I wouldn't be able to even find where it's from. But what I'm getting from it is definitely the Haitian vetiver. It's so creamy. It's so creamy and not much earth at all. Now, it's diluted quite, not really too much, about 10%.
The Haiti is fantastic because they distill it twice, first of all.
And do they? Oh, that's why it's so light and clean. And you see, it's not dark. It's dark, but it's got a kind of...
It's very transparent.
It's very transparent and kind of clear. Yeah, very transparent. Whereas the other one, when I was putting it in, it was like what you have there, asphalt. It had that kind of flat.
It's completely opposite of it.
Now, this one is interesting. The Suriname. I didn't know that was South American.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a different story. This is more grassy. Like, it's more grassy, completely different story.
It's amazing. It's amazing how it changes from the terroir.
It is. And then, of course,
it's beautiful because it's a root and gets that soil thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And did you know this now? We'll see everything so far, you knew. So apparently microbiome is very important too.
Yes.
So like and it reminded me of sandalwood has to have a kind of a fungus going on, doesn't it? And then agarwood has to have a kind of a fungus going on.
Yes.
Sandalwood also has to have something to age it, make it before it's even useful for distillation. And then I was so interested to know that vetiver is the same. It has to be long enough in the soil, they reckon about 24 months is the ideal, to build up that microbiome in the soil. And it's actually really good for soil as well. But then in some countries that are quite, you know, they might have farmers that maybe, you know, school would... cupboard, they wouldn't have money for school books or whatever, so they have to harvest early, and the oil might not be as good, but also the land might suffer because you're doing it at the wrong time of year, then you get landslides and things like that.
There are some good uses for vetiver in agriculture too, because it holds the soil.
This is the thing. It holds the soil if it's grown properly, and then it can be devastating if it's grown incorrectly. So it's like you have to have the ethical side of things.
Yes, you have to be very conscious of the planting of it, because it's the root can reach 6 meters long.
Really? It goes across the way, doesn't it? Like, rather than down the way, it kind of goes across and kind of grips the soil together like a mesh.
Goes like a mat.
Yeah.
It goes sideways and downwards too. So it grows a lot of root. And it holds the soil, so it's very good for erosion treatment. Mm-hmm. And it's good for cleaning the water too.
Yes.
So if you have a pond and the pond is polluted, you plant vetiver on the margin and it cleans the water.
Okay, so the roots go down like this and they just soak all the toxins up.
Another use for it, it's cleaning of heavy metal. Of course, this one is not good for perfume, but
yeah, for but cleaning, for out of the soil, you mean?
The heavy metals on the soil and in the water, you can plant vetiver in it. And now I've learned a new technique to plant vetiver. I've got a few plants, not many, but two or three. If you plant the vetiver inside a tube of PVC tube.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean.
Fill it in with soil, plant the vetiver in it, and let it grow. And it grows downward.
Oh, so it just goes down, keeps growing.
Keeps growing till it reaches the soil. When it reaches the soil, you just take the tube out and get all the leaves very nice and clean.
Oh, my goodness. You have harvested the whole thing then.
Yeah, you just have to wash the roots and it's clean.
Yeah.
So this technique is a fellow distiller that discovered, and he's using that. It's fantastic. He made a whole fence with white tubes of vetiver.
Wow, amazing.
So those tough green tufts growing.
Yeah, it's a tufty plant. I've never seen it grown in real life, but yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And when it grows down, when it reaches the soil, kind of a meter down, it just takes them out and plant again.
And I wonder, you probably split them up as well. So, like, you take them out and just put a little bit back of the root into the. They probably propagate that way.
Put the root to the top, and it's the branch is going to grow another root.
Wow, that's incredible, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
So it's quite a sustainable. You know, we could put it into the safe. You know, obviously, you know, everybody
and
has to pay attention to the safety roots.
The grass is good for making crafts, you know, baskets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I found that out. Yeah, like, and they're supposed to be like, even they're for cooling, the mats would be like people would lie on
them.
And
mats, they make mats of the roots.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful. I saw one. They're very delicate and transparent. You translucent, you know, you can see through.
What?
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. They align the roots and sow in between and make those beautiful mats
to
cool
look them
the
up.
Window when it's very hot, you wet them. And that smell comes around cooling everything.
Yeah, and do the leaves, you see. I'd be wondering, do the leaves smell of anything, or is it all down in the
root? No. The roots, the leaves don't smell.
Okay.
The roots.
Okay, because lemongrass has, I was so surprised the first time I smelled lemongrass. It's just, it looks like just normal grass almost, except for it's a little bit thicker. And they had cut it as well with the lawnmower, so it just looked like a football pitch. And I was walking across and I could smell this beautiful lemon scent in the air. And then I realized it was coming from my feet, and I went down and picked a bit, and I realized that it was just walking across this lemongrass. This was in the West Indies in St. Vincent. I was years ago now. This is years ago.
This is another calming herb too.
Lemongrass, yeah. I think they're related, aren't they? Are they related slightly? Yeah.
They are the very same family. Oase, very beautiful. They're very beautiful. Like Palmarosa and vetiver and lemongrass, green grass. God, what's the other one? Bluegrass. Bluegrass.
Yeah. Wow.
These are very beautiful.
And they so now, very important, what kind of, because you'd work with it now, but in perfumery, it goes with so many things. It's very versatile, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
What would be like the ones that, you know, we were talking about patchouli and we talked about rose.
This one is shipri, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Shipri is a very good one for making with vetiver. Oh,
I'm being enveloped here.
Wood, oh, oak moss.
That is incredible. And then the bourbon one. I'm just going to do this one now. This is old, old as well. But it's another one that's worth investing in. Like, you have that bottle there, that people could feel it comfortable. Once they, I would always say sample first and make sure that your supplier is right, and get your, make sure you get your SDS, you know, DAT, whatever you need to get your sheet, safety data sheets, and buy a little bit, I'd get a sample, and then you can buy or invest
a lot.
Yeah. And keep it somewhere, you know, if you can, even don't open it. And if you do open it, make sure you seal it properly. And it goes up in value. Vetiver is one of those, isn't it?
Beautiful. It's beautiful when it's very old.
Mm-hmm. And you could just decant. You could decant a little bit. Like, you could decant maybe 50 mils or something like that. And that would be a lot to keep a perfumer going, you know. And then you could just put the bottle away. Oh. Now, that bourbon smells very like the...
Oh, beautiful thing.
Suriname as well, actually. I don't know. Yeah. And then this one. It's so beautiful, isn't it? It's and actually, as well, if anybody is ever going to thinking about distilling it, it's a very slow distillation.
Yeah.
Apparently, you have to leave it on for maybe 12 to 24 hours.
One of the first things I distilled for was vetiver, because I had this little bit of grass or of roots that I caught, and I tried to distill it.
Yeah.
But the oil was so heavy. It goes down to the water. The water floats on it.
No. I didn't realize that. So there's actually must be a fair amount of resin.
Every oil you distill, they float on.
Yeah, they float. So it must be those heavy molecules. Doesn't. Yeah.
Vetiver goes down. The water on top, so it's hard to distill, and you get all the distiller full of vetiver glued in it. It's very difficult to clean.
Yeah, you'd need a special type of distillation. And, I wonder, like a Sauchelet situation or something like that.
My teacher tried to distill it with salt water.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, he put salt water to make it go on the top.
Oh, so the water. Oh, that's so clever. Yeah, of course, because the water is, salt water is denser.
Yeah, it made the water more dense for it to float. Otherwise, it would.
And did it work?
I don't know. I have to see it.
Yeah. Except
try it, but I wouldn't dare.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Not they again. Say that they keep the secrets close to their chest. People who distill vetiver, it's one of those ones that they keep the secrets. They don't tell. They have a certain thing they do.
The guy who distill it, he says the best thing is to distill the root. If you distill the root, the oil is going to float. But if you distill the oil, like I was trying to do, I was trying to vetificate.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You need a special distiller for that.
As some little trick, a special distiller, or like that salt water, some kind of special trick.
I don't know which trick it's going to be, but I couldn't do it. And I want dare it again, you know. It's really daring.
And there's another thing now as well, you've probably heard of this, is the one, so there's vetiver attar. So it would be distilled into sandalwood, extremely rare, would usually be Indian, and it probably is very rare. So they, you know, a true attar is distilled into sandalwood oil. So this is vetiver distilled into sandalwood oil, but sometimes they do distill it into other.
Four kinds of attars.
Yeah, okay.
You can make attar with oud. With oud is very rare and very expensive, but of course you can do it with oud. You can do it with sandalwood, which is the most current. You can do it with vetiver, actually, too. You can, instead of sandalwood, put the vetiver oil to receive,
Wow,
and
so it's like
it's
a double. That's like a
fantastic.
double distillate. That's like cooking carrots and carrot juice.
Yes, it's like making a soup, and
So nothing escapes.
with the flower, the vahina.
What's that?
Hina.
Oh,
Hina.
Davina. How do you spell it?
Hina, the one to paint the hair, to dye the
Oh,
hair.
henna. Okay. Oh, yeah,
Yeah,
henna. Or henna, yeah.
in the flower of henna, it's the gul hina.
Wow, this
You
is
can
so
distill
interesting.
things into this one to gul hina. And it's totally different. What an attar. Oh my God, it's beautiful. Ruth, it's beautiful. It's like you wet it, all the house, it's all full of rain. It's really watery. Beautiful, the Gulhina.
Okay, you could
Beautiful.
just wear it as itself, as a perfume.
Oh yeah. Tranquil.
And what's it
Beautiful.
called again? That last
Gulhina.
Gunahini, and that's where they get the name from, the henna flower.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna definitely look that up,
Oh,
find more
beautiful.
information on that. Now that was definitely not one that was mentioned.
Oh,
That's
wait.
like that's really deep down into another kind of a rabbit hole, isn't it, really?
I have to tell you how crazy I am. I just last week I had a lot of work, you know. So a
Oh, fair
person
play to you, Anne. Tell us about that. Tell us about it.
one client asked me for a lot of things and I did it, and the other wanted some raw materials to work with, and I sold. So I had a lot of money last week,
Well, that's
and
always nice.
I spent it all.
On perfume materials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, well, I couldn't resist. You know, the guy had such a lot of beauties, and I'm gonna try Kadamba. Have you heard about Kadamba?
No, how do you spell that now?
Kadamba.
Kadamba.
Yeah, it's a yellow flower that grows only in India. So this
No.
one, and another Sugan Kokila, and another one that never smelled it. So I was so curious, I bought it.
What a
And
wonderful world we live in, that how long have you been smelling and you still have all these amazing you haven't smelled.
you have plenty of things you don't know.
Oh.
Lots of things you don't know.
So tell
And
me about them.
2 weeks ago, I received a box. I'm going to show you in a minute, with six Brazilian oils.
Yeah.
And these are really new things, you know, in the world of perfumery.
Okay,
They
so
come
there's sort of
from
new
the scent.
explorations. Let's try and see what happens if we try and distill this botanical or CO2 extraction.
You know Nana. Nana and Tuca, the ones
Yes.
that
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah.
distillation thing. And Nana lives in the center of Brazil, in Goiás, in a place that's beautiful. It's the Chapada dos Veadeiros. And she distills whatever she comes and smells good, and she distills it. And discovered these. I'm going to show you. It's beautiful.
Okay, take your time, Anne.
This is Nana's work.
Oh, wow. God. Is that a little
Brazilian.
collection?
Yes,
That's stunning.
As it's a new thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, look. Oh, I saw that online. When I didn't see it closed. Oh, my God. That is stunning. I'm going to find that now online. I'm going to share a link to that as well in the bottom of this podcast.
Rosmaninho, urucum, which is a natto seeds that she was distilling. Remember that she was distilling a natto
seeds. Those red ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pimenta de macaco, it's xilopia aromática. Cagaita, negra mina, and araçá.
So you've never even smelled those.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Wow. It's kind of, you know, you only have it in here. And if you want one of those, I can arrange to you.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, I know her link. I'll find her link is to her store anyway. And I'll share it in this. It's stunning. And in the little box, are they scent strips? Has she got little...
But it's only tiny samples, you know. It's kind of...
And then there's a little... Or is that a piece of paper? So there's bottles and then a piece of paper rolled up.
Yeah, it's explaining all the things.
Yeah, brilliant. And amazing. And they're distilled. She did them herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And she's one of your students.
Yeah.
Wow.
The ones that are going to be our teachers too of distillation.
Yes. And how's that? That's in the pipeline. We won't say anything about that. So to jinx it.
It's in the pipeline.
It's in the pipeline.
Not ready yet. But it's going to be next year. It's going to be okay. It's going to finish.
Yes, it is. Time enough. So I'm just seeing here now, there's a circle of, like, it's amazing, really, all of these notes, because people, they say, oh, vetiver, and like you say, you get earth, you get straw, and, you know, you get these, they're the immediate ones.
Fresh things.
Fresh or hay or, and then maybe deep and dark. But like, there's some here I was so surprised at. So you have grapefruit peel. Bitter citrus. These are sort of notes that you might get from the vetiver, even just at a higher dilution. Rhubarb, you know, rhubarb is a very unusual one. So that kind of sour sort of tannin. Yeah. And then green roots, damp grass, dry timber, pencil shavings, nutty facets, smoke and ash, leather and tobacco. Wet soil and dry soil. That's what you were saying, that wet, the dry soil, faint balsamic, and what is that? I think animalic, and then persistent, creamy, woody finish. That's what I love. I mean, that's what I'm getting. It's like, that's what, you know, when you leave it on your hands and, you know, you come back a few hours later, that's what you're getting. You're getting that creamy woody finish on your fingers. That is just like, whoa, what is this? You know? But it does take skill, doesn't it? It does take a bit of skill to work with.
Yeah. But it combines with a lot of things too.
Yeah.
It's very good citric oils. Okay. It holds them very nicely. When you're making citrusy perfume, use vetiver to hold them as a base note.
Right, so it's a fixative, but it's not like the other fixatives. It takes its own role as well. It's not like really silent.
Yes, you have to combine. Yeah, combine with it. Mm. Yeah.
And any tips now? Very dilute. It would be a very strong. It'd be up there, wouldn't it?
Well, of course, one drop of this thick vetiver is a splosh, is not a drop.
Yeah.
So you have to dilute it obligatory.
Yeah.
To mess with it, at least 50% you have to dilute it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not going to roll. No. It's not going to drop at all. It's very, very thick to a drop. So you have to dilute it 50% to start to work with it. And 10% is just the ideal.
Yeah. That's when you can really get a lot of its facets, all those hidden, beautiful facets. I'm just in love here. I'm trying to think of my favorite, but it's so hard. They're so different. It's just unbelievable. I think it'd have to be this one that's my favorite, though, the Mandy Aftel one.
Amazing.
I think it's the more refined. Lovely. It's the much more elegant of them.
This is the heart.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. It's unbelievable, yeah.
You get the flower in it.
Yeah, you do. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, when you buy vetiver, look for Haiti one.
Look for the Haiti one. Yes, look for the Haiti one. Beautiful. That's it's the green one.
Green.
Yes, yes.
No, this is top note. It's amazing, but top note, this one.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean? It's like, you know, people find it, you know, I think probably a beginner that would blow their minds. Like, how can something be a bass note, but also a top note, you know? It's like, come on. But it's just got this wide range, doesn't it? It's not here like this with blinkers on. It's kind of it's going like this. It's got its arms open.
It's not a pyramid. It's a tornado.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's not a pyramid. No, not at all.
No. Pyramid. It's upturned pyramid, a tornado, in other words.
Yes, it's a tornado, something that it's a wind
around.
It's like, you know, when you think about the perfume pyramid thing,
mm-hmm.
it's something static, heavy, stony, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about natural perfume, it's like wind. It's like a wind that's really turning everything up and down, mixing everything in the air.
Mm-hmm. And you're trying to catch bits of it, aren't you, as they're going
sometimes
past?
Sometimes you get parts of it. Sometimes you get it all. Sometimes it just escapes and you get nothing.
That's the thing, yeah. It interacts with or like it's as variable as the person smelling it, you know, because obviously, you know, you could be, you know, your nose could be tired. You could, you know, you could be at top form nose. The temperature could be just right. And then you smell this natural material and then you realize, and it's at optimum conditions. And then, you know, like you say, you have a much more likelihood of actually picking up.
The temperature rises and you start to sweat and the smells go completely different than it was before.
That's right. Humidity in the air, sometimes it activates molecules that weren't there before. Linden blossom is one actually that I think does that. Now, I have the absolute, linden blossom absolute, and it doesn't smell... If you smell it out of the jar, it doesn't smell anything like linden blossom at all. But when you dilute it down, it does. But again, it is like that. So you could smell it and, you know, it not do anything, then smell it in another condition. Like when you walk down the... Do you know, would linden blossom trees grow in Brazil? They would. Lime trees.
Yes, they would, but not here, not in this region.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Anne, it's one of the most amazing, but like, so you could, there's a street not far from where I am and you kind of have to walk into town and it's just kind of lined with linden trees. And then a certain time of year, they're just dripping with blossoms, but it could be a warm day, Annie, you know, you wouldn't really smell them. And then if it's just about to rain, and it's warm, or just after raining and it's warm, so the humidity is so high, oh, then you can smell it. It's like It like hits you in the face, like really hits you. It's like walking through a cloud of the stuff, you know. It's just that atmosphere changes it completely, you know. And that's the beauty of it. It's like, I mean, I suppose that I've never worked with synthetic materials, and I know you have. So they're probably the same in a way, like molecules behave differently in different temperatures. Like,
well, they do, but working with one molecule, it's just so, you know, when you mix them, you make a miracle. This is the thing. Sometimes people say, but you work with both materials, you work with synthetic.
Yeah.
Well, I can work with synthetic. I prefer to work with natural.
Yeah, it's good to have it. It's good to know.
I can make both kinds of perfume, but I do prefer naturals, of course, because they're richer, they're more beautiful, they're fantastic.
Yeah. And more of a challenge as well, like you say, the other ones, it's a molecule. You know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know it's not going to surprise you because, you know, it was picked, you know, at optimum, you know, harvest conditions, and it was left to mature, and, you know.
No, it's not that there isn't magic.
Yeah. Listen, Anne, I see my son is coming in there, so I'm going to sign off, and we've been here an hour anyway. Okay. So I'm going to the little sign off. So thanks a million for taking the time, Anne. And I'm going to put all the links to the things we were talking about for everybody. And I think that's all. And you just look after yourself as well. And that's it. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jane, and when you need me, you just have to call me.
Oh, thank you. And thanks to our listeners for their support as well.
Okay.
Lovely stuff.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.